This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and now we're discussing peace talks that are set to take place in KL sometime this month between the Thai government and the Muslim separatist group Barisan Revolusi Nasional. So yesterday it was actually reported that they are set to meet face to face to resume peace talks for the first time in KL after 2 years. Negotiations have previously over these last couple of years been held virtually because of course of the pandemic. And BRN, they operate in four deep south provinces in Thailand, Pattani, Yala, Narathiwat and Songkhla. And the facilitator for the talks will be the former IGP, Tan Sri Rahim Noor, representing the Malaysian government. And I said sometime this month because the meeting has been scheduled for the middle. The date has not been finalized. Now, if you're wondering who BRN is, Barisan Revolusi Nasional, or what this whole thing is about, essentially, we're talking about a separatist insurgency in southern Thailand that began in April 2004 and over that time has claimed over 7,000 lives. In mid of last year, the BRN submitted a document to the Thai government which specified three demands, which I assume are going to be a major part of the peace talks. Basically, a political solution that meets the aspirations of Muslim Malays in the south of Thailand. Secondly, a reduction in military operations. And third, the idea of inclusivity involving civil society representatives, religious and political figures, and community leaders in the peace dialogue. So this is, I think, a pretty interesting story in that, peace talks happening in a middle ground. I'm curious to know what comes of them. I'm curious to know what's going to be discussed. So to get a sense of what is happening or what might happen, we are going to be speaking shortly with Dr. James Gomez, Regional Director at Asia Centre. But let us know if you have thoughts on the story, if you have questions on the story, share them. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now Dr. James Gomez, Regional Director at Asia Centre, joins us. Dr. James, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon and thanks for having me. Great to be here on this very important topic.
So for some context, could you walk us through the root of the conflict between Thailand and the BRN?
Well, essentially it has to do with, colonialism and the colonial masters, carving up different parts of Southeast Asia. So the Kingdom of Pattani in 1909 was signed away under the Anglo-Siamese Treaty. So that was one of the key incidents. Now, all things were quite, status quo for about 50-odd years when, Thailand, began a period of assimilating the population within its borders. This started with a lot of out-migration from the Chinese diaspora after 1949 from China. Not unusual also to Thailand, Indonesia also took a similar path. Now, this had a ripple effect on the community, in the four southern provinces, who then reacted, and that gave rise to the birth of the BRN in 1960. So since then, there has been this issue of, ethno-religious nationalist a conflict that has, sort of ebbed and flowed in the last, 60 years.
What has been the impact of this long-standing issue?
Well, essentially, I think it's the violence. The violence is in the deep south. It's a big concern for the Thai state. The Thai state primarily is a military state, so the issue of security is very, very important. Most commentators, want to position the conflict as an ethno-national conflict. But what we need to understand with conflicts is they transform over time. And what has come to the fore really is the identity politics and where religion is a very important marker. So as a result, the impact has gone beyond the ethno-nationalist context to include a religious dimension and with influences of extremism that has given rise for concerns. So a range of, you know, external governments are also involved in trying to understand the conflict in southern Thailand and also try to stave off, any undesirable dimensions that go beyond what the community there is essentially seeking, which is, some form of autonomy over its affairs.
So it's been 2 years since the plans for peace talks were first announced. Since then, of course, we've had the pandemic. But what has happened during this time, particularly in the virtual conversations?
Well, I think there has been a jockeying, a calibration of, who will sit at the table. First of all, of course, we had COVID and, all the health impact and all the fatigue in conversations, that has been sort of weakened. But I think essentially, the approach has been to, cobble together all the different, stakeholders, because this was a request of the Thai side, and to bring them to the negotiating table. But the primary actor, the BRN, has, not been sort of in the mainstay. So within their own group, between the sort of the armed wing as well as the political wing, finally, there has been some, sort of support from the elders of the BRN to get them to sit at the table. So, and I think this is what we are seeing now with, the BRN, sort of coming into a more dominant role in the conversation. So the 2 years has allowed the BRN, to kind of literally take its, pole position at the negotiating table.
So how exactly are peace talks actually conducted, particularly when violence and human rights violations have taken place?
Well, the aim of the peace talk is really to reduce, the violence. Usually, security forces and governments, that's the perspective they come from, and the Thai state, which is a very military state, takes this at its role. So it's concerned about, dealing with the violence. So its approach always has been to securitize the response to the South, and then they will throw in a bit of development into it, assuming that is the root cause. But for the other side, the BRN and the community in Pattani, for them, it's, identity politics, which has evolved. And I think that's the key thing to watch here, that it has moved and evolved beyond ethno-nationalism. So now it's identity politics. Religion is a very, very important marker. But still, at the same time, in the official articulation of the BRN, their position is that they want to take a diverse, a multi-ethnic, multi-religious approach where everybody is included in the community. But there is that language of Bangsa Pattani, that is overarching. So we see, from the outside, it has evolved into this direction, and this is, some concern in some quarters. Yeah.
So what then have been or are likely to be the major stumbling blocks in coming to an agreement or some form of a resolution?
I think this would, conflicts and issues like this, they are ongoing, they have ebb and flows. So I don't think the next conversation, the meeting that will be held in KL would be conclusive. But I think what will happen is the issue of the identity marker will be increased. And I think the Thai state will have to think about, whether it will take the traditional route of suppressing that or actually, allowing for some level of self administration, especially around, cultural and religious affairs. A lot of this is already taking place. So to deny it, it's really, going to be challenging because, it's there. You go to southern Thailand, you can see, what is the cultural majority. So I guess that's what we will see, an inevitable, volume of allowance for, self-administration of sort. I think because the trigger of the identity marker has stiffened and has become much, much stronger.
So how did we, Malaysia, become involved in this?
Well, Malaysian foreign policy, there's a certain romance about, wanting to help others, whether it's the Palestinian issue or the Myanmar issue. The foreign ministry, I think, Malaysian leaders, statesmen, have always, had this romantic view about, helping others and, playing a role, in global politics. I think so this comes from that perspective as well. But however, external commentators will always point out that Malaysia is a stakeholder and it's not neutral. If you look at the conflict in Sri Lanka, you had Norway very, very much involved, worlds apart, culturally apart, and, they were trying to mediate. But in the southern case, that's not it. But nevertheless, since 2013, when, Yeng Lam, reached out and said, Malaysia, can you help? That idea of, reaching out to Malaysia to help has become, kind of the new normal when one is talking about the issue, the BRN and Southern Thailand. So, and I think that's how, Malaysia is kind of in a default position. And since it's been given this default position, it's kind of maximizing the opportunity. I think, your listeners may also want to be fully aware that there are a lot of outreach program that Malaysia does. There's a lot of scholarships that Malaysia gives for higher education to citizens of Thailand, but mostly residents from the four states. If you just go to the border states and the border university, you will see large numbers of students there. So Malaysia has been at it for a while, and I think I can see moving forward, it'll continue to play a role. No matter what I think external observers say about its, neutral position.
What do you think needs to happen in order for the upcoming meeting to be fruitful?
I mean, the one thing I would like to say, usually these meetings, both from the Thai side and the BRN side, tend to be full of men. So I think, I hope Malaysia would, try to bring more women's voices and women issues involved as well, with the conflict, as the men carry arms mostly and, they get killed. The breadwinner is gone. The women, children, they suffer a lot. And I think that voice needs more than a seat at the table. And I think that's something, I would very much like to see happen. But the other issue here with the meeting and, whether we can be hopeful or not, is really to look at the composition of the Thai government side. Now, it's always a merry-go-round in the sense that, Thai regimes operate this way. When one administration comes into power, then they bring all their merry men and women into the different roles, including the negotiating roles. So there has been no constant force or person or, institution with people with, the long memories that is needed to deal with issues like this. There's a constant changeover. So I would say that similarly also on the Malaysian side, there needs to be a consistency of approach. There needs to be a constant phase that's leading, you know, or brokering the discussion, you know, that we don't see. Only the, at least the BRN, doesn't matter who is the face of the day, but you know, the leadership is there, it's pretty organized, you know. No matter what you say, that they are, you know, a group of, you know, sort of motley group of people who've been, you know, sort of thrown together, but still they have some kind of organized direction and had so intermittently over the last 60 years.
We have just 10 seconds left with you. Basically, are you optimistic?
No, unfortunately, no. I wish them well. I think more needs to happen. And I hope that this meeting would be a good start in the right direction. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
That was Dr. James Gomez, Regional Director at Asia Centre, weighing in on the peace talks set to take place in KL sometime this month between the Thai government and the Muslim separatist group operating in the Deep South, Barisan Revolusi Nasional. And now we're headed to the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.